Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Health Cafe. I am your host, Vanessa Tiu, and I am so excited for today's episode. This has been a long-awaited episode, something that I had meant to film in October and then earlier on in November, but honestly, I was pretty burnt out, feeling overwhelmed and stressed, and also got sick and then lost my voice and then got sick again, so it has just been prolonged. But today is part one of two catch-up episodes. In this episode, we are skipping all of the usual prelude. We are not even going to get into our segments. And you guys know me, I love my segments. So that's how you know this is not only going to be a long episode, but it is going to be a good one. So grab a cup of tea, grab a hot chocolate. It's cozy season, maybe a coffee if you are listening to this early in the morning. I have a functional hot chocolate going right now from Bloom, the mint cocoa. Okay, maybe I'm sneaking in a recent favorite in here, but I have my Bloom mint cocoa hot chocolate going right now with some soy milk. It's delicious. I feel good. I'm ready to sit down and chat and catch you guys up. It has been a hot minute since we had a podcast episode. I know. I'm so sorry. I've been pretty on top of my shit this year with having at least one podcast episode go out a month. And like I said, I just fell off the last month, unfortunately. But we are back. We are feeling good. We are ready to go and catch up. Anyways, let's just hop right into it. Today is part one of a few catch-up episodes, and today we are chatting all things wedding planning, engagement party planning, engagement photo shoot, basically just going a little bit more in depth of all that happened in September, because I really had wanted to chat about this before any of my engagement content went up. And like I said, I just never got around to it. So I really want to sit down with you guys, give you the 411, catch you up, debrief, and overall go through how I've been feeling about the process, how it has been. Because I also know that a few of you are in the same stage of life, whether you're engaged, you're going to be engaged, or you're married, so you can relate. And honestly, I just think it can be something really useful to chat about the process, especially on a budget. I feel like so often on social media now we're seeing such flamboyancy when it comes to weddings, and like, you already know those weddings are ridiculously priced. And going into it, I thought that Alan and I already had a pretty fair budget. But then we started looking at venues, and just with the amount of people that we have in our family, which is not even a lot, I feel like I'm already starting to get ranty. First thing I just wanted to talk about was kind of a little bit of transparency on budgets. I feel like so many people nowadays are doing super big weddings, super big engagement parties, like the whole thing. And go you, go boo. I thought I had a big budget and I want the big wedding. That is totally me. And I, not that I'm like super, super luxe, but I definitely have, I guess, expensive tastes, and I definitely want things to be elegant and minimal and well done and well decorated. And also just the type of venue that we were looking at. But I guess first things first is weddings are so costly. And I think that to the general public, most people know this, like going into getting engaged, I knew a wedding was expensive, which is a big reason actually why Alan and I had A, held off, and B, why we're having a bit of a longer engagement. We are planning on having, from when we got engaged, approximately a 2-year engagement, which is kind of crazy that we've already gone through 6 months of being engaged. Actually, it was 6 months a few days ago, and I don't know where that time went by. So people that can do this in a year to like under a year, like 8 months, you're insane. Congrats. I'm so proud of you because I am like overwhelmed. Don't know how I can do this in 2 years. So people that can plan in like a year and under, you are amazing. I like don't know how you do it. So let's just start off with a little bit more of the wedding planning side of things before we get into the engagement side of things. So shortly after Alan and I got engaged, there was a few things that obviously we had to do right away, like get my ring resized, talk rough dates, and approximately when we were thinking we wanted to get married. So whether that was time of year, month, day, we were pretty settled on the idea of doing a Friday for two reasons. One is because Fridays and Sundays are much cheaper than Saturdays, at least in Toronto, Ontario, and Canada. From my research, Saturdays are not only the most popular day because obviously nobody works on a Saturday, and versus a Sunday, people have to work the next day. And then Fridays and Sundays are the next best days because of just, I feel like work-wise, most people work a 9-to-5. And so Friday, the next day is obviously Saturday and you don't have to work. So that was a big reason why Alan and I liked the idea of doing a Friday, is like, we don't mind asking people to have to take time off work. Not only that, but they don't even have to take too much time off because we are doing a late afternoon wedding, likely starting sometime in between 2 and 4. So people could still work like a half day if need be, obviously not the wedding party, but like our general family that we're inviting. Another thing that we did right away, I feel like a week or so actually after we got back from London, because obviously we got engaged when we were away on vacation, but when we got back, we made a rough timeline. Like I said, we had both previously talked about this even before we got engaged, that we roughly wanted a 2-year engagement. So we sat down and made a timeline of everything that needed to get done, say 18 months out, 12 months out, 6 months out, and so on. Just a rough idea of when we should have things booked, signed in, like completed and done by. We also had chatted about getting a wedding planner, but honestly, I kind of wanted to not take it on all myself because obviously Alan is going to help me and has been helping me so much. Same with my mom and my friends, but I was open to the idea of a wedding planner, but after looking into the costs, it was immediately scratched off my list just because I thought it was a little bit of an unnecessary cost. Because I work for myself, I definitely do have more time and leniency to be able to look into things and plan things. Also, the longer engagement allows for it. If we had been doing a shorter engagement, or I worked a full-time job and Alan worked a full-time job, I think a wedding planner definitely would be worth it. But for me, the $8,000 plus cost was just not in the budget at all. So quickly said no to that and said, okay, I'm type A enough as it is and I'm going to do everything myself. As a side note, I have made so many Excel sheets for this, and I've actually sent them to a few of you because I've posted them here and there. I'm thinking of putting them up on an Etsy shop just to make them a little bit more available for any of you type A self-planned to be brides or current brides as well. Just a side note, I feel like I might do that sometime soon. But yeah, I definitely have been pretty organized and on top of things when it comes to planning. The next thing we did was start looking into wedding venues and booking wedding venue tours. This was something that I knew I wanted to get done by the end of the summer. So Alan and I had made a deadline that by mid-September at the latest, we would have our venue secured. And side note, you guys are the only ones that get to know, we do have a venue and a date, which is so exciting. I actually have never shared that anywhere else. So you guys gotta keep it hush hush. But we do have our date and venue secured. And like I was saying, that's just something that we knew we wanted to get done right away, especially because I had heard so much, especially in the Toronto wedding venue market, that a lot of venues were already booking 1.5 to 2 years out, and that like 2024 was basically already full when we had started looking in June, July of 2023 this year. Most venues already had 2024 fully booked. So luckily, we did pretty much have full range of the days that we wanted in 2025 at the venues we wanted. Venue hunting, I would say, is not the hardest part. The hardest part is narrowing down venues that are within your budget for the amount of people that you want, and then also just the vibes that you want. I feel like Toronto's pretty limited in the vibes. There's lots of hotels. There's lots of, I feel like, outdoor if you go further away from the GTA. But I definitely had a pretty particular vibe, and Alan was very aligned with this vibe. He loved it as well. It's something that we had talked about. We both mutually agreed upon. I feel like I'm going to say me a lot just because typically in, I'd say, wedding planning, the female is the one that has most of the ideas. So I feel like I've just been bringing ideas to the table, and Alan is either aligned with it or he's not aligned with it. And if he's not aligned with it, then we take a step back and I like reconsider things that he likes versus things that I like, and we make a mutual decision and mutual agreement of something that we both like. A little bit of compromise, you guys. You have to compromise in relationships. It's definitely been, I wouldn't say a learning curve, but it's been a process because I feel like at the beginning of all this planning, I, like I was saying, am someone who has been looking towards her wedding for so long, very type A, and basically have kind of been like, this is exactly what I want, but I'm open-minded to changing it. Like, I love what I love, but I'm not like 100% set, and I am totally flexible and open to finding what fits both of us as a couple. Once the venue tours were all booked, I finally could put my mind towards more of the engagement party planning. And I think we ended up doing about 7 different venue tours in total, but I probably sifted through at least 50 to 60 possible venues before nailing it down and making a decision on the ones that we were going to go see. Before even getting engaged, I did have 2 venues that were like top of my list that I wanted to go see. I absolutely was that girl and already kind of had a pre-idea of the venue that I wanted. The 2 that I loved the most, we did end up going to see, but I still looked through, like I said, about probably 50 to 60 other ones and nailed out 5 to 6 with Alan of other ones that were possibilities that we went and toured. But because that was such a big mental, I feel like big mental load, a big chunk of trying to sit down and just like look up venues. Where do you go to look up venues? I personally started on Pinterest and Instagram, just going, searching like Toronto wedding venues, even on Google. But I find Google is a little less specific unless you have like a very specific, for example, greenhouse or hotel in mind. Pinterest is a great place. Find big wedding photographers in your area because most of the time they'll tag all of the vendors, including the venue, including the caterer, all that sort of stuff. So I found, I believe 3 or 4 big Toronto photographers, which this also kind of killed 2 birds with 1 stone because I got to do a little bit of photographer research on top of doing venue research. So kind of doing a 2-in-1 deal there. But before even starting to book our engagement party, I knew I wanted to get our engagement photos done and have it done in September while the weather was still nice, but it also wasn't absolutely boiling outside and it wasn't cold either. I just feel like September and then like May, June are ideal typically temperature months. So we booked our engagement photo shoot as quickly as we could. I knew I wanted to shoot with Mango Studios. I have been following them on Pinterest since probably 2017 or 2018. I love, love, love their work and they absolutely killed our photo shoot. So I guess I'll talk a little bit about the photo shoot now and get into the planning process of that. So after I reached out to the photographer, we nailed out a date. I've been a big mood board gal and I made mood boards and inspo for all of the different looks that I wanted to shoot, presented it to Alan, and he was basically like, Vanessa, this is your thing. I did the day of our engagement photo shoot. He was like, so I am up for whatever you want, whatever the vibe is. This is more so for you, and I know you love your photos, which I do. So he was totally game for whatever I had in mind. I showed him the art gallery inspo. I showed him the outside downtown inspo and then the coffee shop inspo as well. So one that was more of the aesthetic and vibe that I loved, which was the art gallery, and then one that was more fitted to us and our personalities as a couple, which was the coffee shop and downtown Toronto vibe, which Alan loved both, and I was so happy he was on board with both. So after I talked to Alan, made up the mood boards, we met with the photographer again, showed him the inspo, went through the locations, went through how much time we would need, and then from there, I hit a little bit of a road bump because we ended up reaching out to the AGO, which is Toronto's only art gallery, which is where we wanted to do the art gallery photo shoot, and found out that the fee to shoot there was just absolutely insane, like way more expensive than I had been anticipating, because there obviously is a like city fee no matter where you shoot, whether it's commercial, wedding, anything. You have to get a permit for photography almost anywhere in Toronto. So I had anticipated that, and I had anticipated a fee of like in between $200 to $500 no matter where we went. But this AGO fee was like I'm just going to ballpark it for you guys, but it was roughly 10 times the amount. Just insane. And so I had to sit with this for a good few weeks and go, okay, is the art gallery really what we want to do? Like, is that money going to be worth it? Obviously, you guys know the answer is that it was because we ended up shooting there. But I was definitely having some good inner turmoil of like, is this really what I want? We only get this photo shoot once in our life. Like, can we do it somewhere else? So I started researching, like, can we go shoot at the ROM, which is Toronto's museum? Are there any other art galleries that would be a possibility? And literally just looking up all of my options because I was like, this fee is just ridiculous. Like, I can afford it and it's okay. It's a one-time thing and I know I'm gonna love the photos. The photographer's amazing. It's a great location. It's exactly what I want. But is that fee worth it? And so definitely came down to the, okay, I'm gonna spend this here, but obviously we're going to have to somewhere else make up the budget, whether cut something somewhere else along the way or for the engagement party or whatnot. But basically decided like, okay, this is a one-time thing, but I can't be making this over the budget one-time fee choice in a lot of places. So we did end up going with the AGO and the photos turned out stunning. Definitely did not shoot as much in the actual art gallery as I wanted to. We ended up doing, I think it was about a 3.5 hour photo shoot total. So an hour in the AGO or an hour and a half in the AGO, and then an hour and a half outside and 30 minutes travel time to kind of get to the different locations that we needed to get to for the photo shoot. So if you are looking to do an outfit change or just a two outfit photo shoot with locations that are roughly a 15 minute drive in between each other, definitely budget at least 3 hours so that you get enough time to get comfortable. I know not everyone is super comfortable with a photographer and with photo shoots. I know I am definitely more comfortable just because it is my job and it's something I've gotten used to, but Alan wasn't. So photographing together is something we have to get used to. I feel like we're both really awkward when the camera comes around. So that also is something to think about when you are booking and planning your photo shoot. Now I get to give a little bit of a rant about the post photo shoot turmoil, because at the end of the photo shoot, our photographer let us know that it was prime wedding season for them. So we weren't going to get our photos back likely for 4 to 5 weeks. And I was like, okay, no problem. Like, I won't have the vlog edited until like the end of September, beginning of October. Anyways, like, no stress. I don't need to post anything until then. I'm not in any rush. And for the next 3 days, I sat in entire stress going, what if I hate the photos? What if I spent all that money and we get no good photos? What if we were just so awkward that they look awful? What if they're not like the inspo that I sent him? Just what if, what if, what if, what if? And this is definitely part of my personality, but from talking to other brides-to-be and past brides, this is definitely something that a lot of people experience when it comes to engagement photos, wedding photos, just photography around such a big moment in general, that there is a lot of anxiety. And so I guess I'm just here to say that that's completely normal to feel that way, and maybe to dispel it a little bit. Because after going through that entire turmoil and just feeling so sick to my stomach with anxiety and stress over it for at least 3 days, I let it go and was like, I cannot feel this way for the wedding. We're booking with the same photographer for the wedding, so I know that I have no issue with their photography and their style, because the engagement photo shoot was amazing and I loved the style. I loved the outcome. So I guess I have to really just tell myself that just relax a little bit more, like just live and be in the moment, and whatever photos come out of it are going to be amazing because you are enjoying that day or that event just that is so special and is a once in a lifetime, one time thing. And I think you might have a little bit of stress still after anyways, and I'm talking to myself here, like I know I'm still going to be a little bit anxious afterwards, like the day or two after the wedding. Obviously not immediately, because I think I'll just be in newlywed bliss. But if you have any anxiety about your wedding photography or just how it's going to turn out, my biggest tip is to get that anxiety out with and over with your engagement photo shoot. Do your engagement photo shoot with the same people that you are either thinking you're going to book for your wedding or you absolutely are going to book for your wedding. And trust me, it'll make so much of a difference because A, you'll already be more comfortable with that photographer, having them around, knowing their shooting style, and just overall just knowing how to act a little bit more in a photo shoot. But also, like, knowing that you like their editing style and you like everything about how they did your engagement photo shoot is going to play out the same way on your wedding day. So that is, I think, the biggest tip that I can give around planning a photo shoot, planning your photographer. It's such a big thing to be comfortable and be happy with your photos. Like, those are some of the only memories you're going to have 30, 40 years from now of that day. You may not be able to remember much else, but you're going to have those photos to remember it for forever. So I really think, at least for me, it's important to really love those photos. That being said, of course, the photography and photos are not the most important part of a wedding or engagement day or any of that at all. I think just for me personally, I do love having keepsakes and memories and photos. I am such a memory storage hoarder. Like, I am so scared of not being able to remember things. And I think that's a big reason why I want good photos and I take so many photos, and maybe even a part of like why content creation is my job and why I've kind of documented my life on YouTube. But at least personally for me, I do love a good photo, but obviously that's not what the day is about. It's not about getting that Pinterest worthy photo as much as all the TikToks tell you this is my Pinterest engagement shoot or wedding day or blah blah blah. Like, if your photos don't turn out good, if you have the most stupid biggest grin on your face the entire time, or you're laughing, you're enjoying the moment, I think that we have kind of lost the art of candid photography, which is part of the reason why I booked with Mango as well, is a lot of their stuff is candid, which I love. And I love just people in the moment actually living and enjoying. It's not a setup photo where it's so posed and forced, and it's just the beautiful simplicity of the day, which I really think that we should get back to with wedding photography, is just a little bit more of just capturing the actual day rather than setup moments. As another side note, and I'm just like on the ball thinking here, but would we like an episode with Alan about like relationship advice and also like pre-wedding prep and just a little bit more on like what marriage is to us? Because I feel like a lot of days now people don't actually talk about that, which could be a big reason as to why not as many people are getting married and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As you guys know, we are Christians, but I think I'm gonna leave this in the poll. And you guys can let me know if this is something you would want in a future episode. And I know it has nothing to do with the Health Cafe, likewise to these episodes, but I do love being able to add a few personal episodes in as well as the educational stuff. But we're gonna get into the engagement party planning and the process and the actual day, a little bit of a recap now. All right, engagement party planning. So both of us knew we wanted to do an engagement party that wasn't like too big, mostly our closest friends and our immediate family. So roughly about half of our actual guest count. So we're at around like 130, 140 guests. And I think our engagement party ended up being around 60. So about half, which I feel like is a decent amount. We started by trying to figure out what venue we wanted, whether it was a restaurant or to rent out an actual space. We ended up doing a venue where we could bring in our own food, and we ended up choosing a venue where we could bring in all of our own things. So food, decor, and chairs, any of that sort of thing that we needed extra other than what the venue already had. We also knew we wanted something somewhat minimal, also relatively inexpensive, so nothing crazy as well. Keeping things pretty budget friendly while also obviously having an engagement party does cost something, so more expensive than just having like one of our friends or family throw it for us. We did end up planning most of it ourselves. Lots of help from my mom. She has been such a big help in this process and also has been just so excited to help do everything. I think she has also been waiting for us to get engaged to be able to help. So I love that for her as well. Besides venue, we knew we wanted our decor to be pretty minimal, similar to the wedding vibes. So lots of white glass candles, white flowers, greens, and a little bit of gold. I love the look of all of the candles in the vases, and then bud vases with lots of white linens and greenery was really the vibes that we were going for. And originally, I toyed with getting the florals done by obviously a company or a florist, but it ended up working out that we did them ourselves, and I wouldn't have had it any other way. It was so much fun to morning of get all of the girls to do all of the florals with me. I think we ended up doing, I want to say 35 or 40 bud vases, so not anything crazy. And I think overall, the bud vases plus the actual flowers ended up only costing us around $300, which is less than half of what it would have if we had went to a florist. So definitely worth it. And I also think they turned out amazing. We got most of the flowers at Costco and some at just our regular like grocery store that has wholesale flowers. And I think they turned out so pretty, so simple. Like, we didn't do anything crazy or over the top in terms of arrangements, like just 2 to 3 stems with like a greenery per bud vase. So they weren't anything extravagant, but they looked so good with the candle pillars and the white linens. And I think that everything came together so perfectly. The signage was done by Filtered by Grace, which was a local GTA small business. And she did the big balloon arch sign, the big welcome sign, and everything was very much black and white and minimal. Elegant, classic. Those were very much the vibes that we were going for all of the decor. I absolutely used Pinterest for all of my inspo. Some of the signs we did come up with ourselves, like the sweets and treats table, and then also our love story sign, which was one of my favorites. It had every single, like, important date in our relationship. So like the day that we met, the day that we started dating, first kiss, our first trip, and when Alan proposed as well. The next biggest thing that we had to figure out was food, and we went back and forth for a good period of time debating whether we should get it catered or we should just do it ourselves, because we did like a mid-afternoon 2 to 6 p.m. time for our party. We didn't really have to do lunch and we didn't really have to do dinner, but we knew we wanted lots of like snacks and hors d'oeuvres and a lot of just finger food. So to keep it pretty simple, easy, if we did end up doing it ourselves, which we did end up doing it ourselves, but we definitely looked into a lot of catering, which I'd say we should have probably looked into way earlier than we actually did. To give you guys an idea on the timeline, we probably started planning this about 5 weeks out. And at that time, a lot of a caterers, cake, and also any like furniture and rentals were already saying like, hey, like this is cutting it close. I think it was also though because we were at the end of prime wedding season and anything for engagement parties is pretty much the same as weddings, that they were like, you need to let us know as soon as possible so we can block off the stuff for you. So definitely something to keep in mind if you are doing an engagement party yourself or you need those sort of rentals and catering, to keep in mind the time of year. Is it prime wedding season? And to be mindful of your timeline, maybe plan it a little bit farther in advance than you think you're going to need to plan it by. Because by the last 3 weeks, when we still didn't have some things planned, I was definitely getting a little stressed out. There are obviously things that if you're doing it yourself, you can do last minute. Like if you are doing the florals yourself, you can pick that up day of and that type of thing, or any last minute little decor. But everything was finalized by, I think it was 3.5 weeks out from our engagement party, which I feel like seems like a pretty far time out for just an engagement party. And it's like 60 people, so it's not anything crazy either, but definitely be mindful of your timeline. In terms of the actual day, I kind of let my mom take the lead and plan this. I didn't want to be too stressed out on the actual day and knew that both Alan and I would be busy saying hi to everyone, like family we hadn't seen in a long time, friends we hadn't seen in a long time. And so my mom planned all the activities. We ended up doing the shoe game. We ended up doing another little game as well, which I do not remember the name of. And then we also did a cake cutting, and our party was 4 hours long. And I'd say the games plus cake cutting probably took up 40 minutes of our 4-hour party. And the other was like 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes of eating, and the other 2.5 hours were of saying hi to everyone. So definitely also don't underestimate how long it takes to simply say hello to every single person that is coming to your engagement party, especially if you have it just as like an open drop-in style, like people don't have to be there for the full time, because I'd say people arrived and left like the entire time of our party. So we were always saying like hello or goodbye or having quick conversations with people. So it definitely was exhausting if you are someone like me that's a little bit more of an introvert, but it also was so amazing to be surrounded by both of our families and have our families fully meet for the first time, have our friends meet our families, like just so much melding and molding of families, which I think is such a beautiful thing. To wrap up this part one of this catch-up episodes, I want to chat about outfits because this is always a fun thing. So as soon as we got engaged, I knew I wanted to get a pair of Jimmy Choos, whether it was for our engagement party or for the engagement photo shoot, which I ended up getting them for the engagement photo shoot. But while we were still in London, after we got engaged, I actually tried on the pair that I really wanted in London at the Jimmy Choo in Harrods, which was such an experience. They had such a beautiful little bridal section there, and I felt really special just going in and being able to try on the shoe. Obviously, I did not buy them there just because it was actually ended up being more expensive than if I were to get them at home. But I also got mine from a vintage luxury reseller, so they were a lot more affordable than they regularly would be, which I would definitely recommend just because luxury heels are something you're going to wear likely one time, especially for your wedding day. I know so many people that have bought like an expensive pair of shoes for their wedding day. They wore it once and then it either just sits in their closet or they resell it for half the value that they paid. Whether you're renting a luxury item or you're buying it secondhand, I think is not only like better economically, better sustainably as well, but I think you'll love and cherish that piece a little bit more, knowing that it was not only a little bit more budget friendly, but also could have been used for someone else's special day too. I think that, to me, that makes it a little bit more special because pieces hold memories. But I did end up getting, I believe they're called the Sakura 85. They are the cream lace with the pearl and they're open-toed just slightly. I definitely liked the open toe because they were a lot more comfortable than a pump would have been. I am someone that does not love pumps. I will wear them if I have to. I do typically like closed-toed heels better, but just the style of the Jimmy Choos, I believe all the closed-toed were like high heel pump style, which is something else that I have to be mindful of because Alan and I are basically the same height. As soon as I put on heels, I am taller than him, which genuinely I don't really mind, but I do think for photos it looks kind of silly. So I likely will end up wearing flats on the actual wedding day. But for the photo shoot, I wore the Jimmy Choos and we made it work. And then my two dresses for the photo shoot, the first one at the art gallery was actually a Opali dress. And I found it last minute because I had been hunting so long for the perfect puffy dress with puffy sleeves and I could not find anything. And then I found this puffy midi on Opali and I was like, you know what? I can get that hemmed and I'll somehow like make sleeves. And I took it to my trusted seamstress and she cropped it for me. She made sleeves. She made it so beautiful. And then my second dress was a Revolve Michael Costello and it's beautiful. It is the fan favorite. All of you guys loved that dress and was originally the one that you all wanted me to get. And honestly, I love it too. I think it is so form flattering. I love the little corset detailing. It is like a two-piece situation of a dress where the top is like a slip and then it's a corset style underneath. And then for the engagement party, I wore this single long sleeve off the shoulder lovers and friends white lace dress, and that is actually the only dress in out of the three so far that was fully white. My two for the engagement photo shoot were more of an off-white, and I just find that the off-white or creams are a little bit softer, more feminine than like a stark white, which is a good thing for me to know and keep in mind for when I go actual wedding dress shopping, which I have done nothing of so far, but I'm so excited. but to keep in mind that I do like more of the creams and off-whites rather than a stark white on me. I think because my hair and eyebrows are so dark and I'm a little bit more on the pale side, that the stark white definitely looks very white on me. So, but with that being said, that brings us to a close of our part one of our catch-up episode. So I hope you guys enjoyed this little episode all about wedding prep, wedding planning, engagement party, engagement photo shoot, all of the wedding stuff. I hope you guys have been enjoying all of the wedding series and content so far. There's so much more coming because I know I've posted next to nothing of our engagement party so far, but I have so much content backlogged from that. I just am like, it's the holiday season and I want to post holiday content, but then it's going to be New Year's content and it'll come out at some point. Just be ready and excited for it. As usual, if you guys have any topic or guest requests, you can always leave them at thehealthcafe.com or send us a message at thehealthcafe.co on Instagram. You guys will all hear me in part two of this episode. I love you all so much. Have a beautiful rest of your day.